Parshas Behar. As we mentioned before, the Haftarah of Parshas Behar doesn't always get read, because sometimes, often it's together with Parshas Bichukosai, when you read the Haftarah of Parshas Bichukosai. But this year we will read Mitzvah Hashem, the Haftarah of Parshas Behar, which comes from the Sefer Yirmiyahu. The truth is, the Haftarah really starts with Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Vav. But to kind of give you the context of when this Nevuah is taking place, so I put on page 1 over here the Pesukim which precede the Haftarah. So we'll just go through them quickly to get a picture of where we're holding here. The Pasuk says, Hadavor Asher Hayoel Yirmiyahu Mi'eis Hashem, the word that was to Yirmiyahu from Hashem, Bashonah Ha'asiris, in the 10th year, the Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda, Tzidkiyahu, the king of 10th year of his reign, he Hashanah Shmoine Esrei Shonah L'Nebuchadrezzar. The 18th year of the rule of Nebuchadrezzar, which is really Nebuchadnezzar, it's discussed in the Gemara and the Midrashim, why sometimes it's called Nebuchadrezzar. But it's the 18th year of his reign of over Babel. And the Pasuk tells us, the Oz Chel Melech Babel, then the army of the king of Babel, Tzorim al Yerushalayim, they were besieging Yerushalayim. The Yirmiyahu Hanavi, and Yirmiyahu the prophet, Hayacholu Bechatar HaMatara, he was locked up in the courtyard of Matara, which was guarded, in the guarded courtyard Asher Beis Melech Yehuda, which was in the house of the king of Yehuda. What was Yirmiyahu Hanavi doing in jail? Says the Pasuk, Asher Kiloi Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda Leimor. The Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, and incarcerated him, saying, Madu Ato Nibo Leimor, why did you prophesy, saying, Koyomar Hashem, so says Hashem, Hedinino Yisena So'ir HaZois Biyad Melech Bovinu L'chadoh. That you prophesy the name of Hashem, that Hashem says, behold, I will give over this city in the hands of the king of Babel, and he will capture it. The Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda, and continuing the prophecy that Yirmiyahu Hanavi had said, Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, lo yimolit miyad hakastim. He will not escape from the hands of the kastim, the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. Ki hinosoin yinosein biyad melech Babel. He will surely be given over in the hands of the king of Babel, v'diber piv im piv, v'einov es einov tireno. He will speak with the king of Babel mouth to mouth directly, and his eyes will meet up with the king of Babel, and he'll be taken captive to the king of Babel himself, and he will not be able to escape. Uvavel yoylech es Tzidkiyahu, to Babel Tzidkiyahu will be taken, v'sham be there, ad pokti oisoi no mashem, until I remember him, until I decide to deal with him, and so take him out of there, so says Hashem. If you think that you can fight, wage a war against the kastim, you should know you will not be successful. That is the prophecy that Yirmiyahu HaNavi had said previously. And because of that prophecy, the Jewish people, King Tzidkiyahu, they didn't want to believe it. They were upset, they were angry at Yirmiyahu HaNavi for prophesizing such negative prophecies. And therefore, Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, he had taken Yirmiyahu HaNavi and put him into the Chatar HaMatara, this guarded courtyard, for all intents and purposes a jail, where he was incarcerated. And that really gives us a glimpse of the attitude of Jewish people at the time. That despite the fact Yirmiyahu HaNavi time after time prophesied and told them that Hashem said that if you don't do tshuva, then the Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar and his army will come and they'll conquer Yerushalayim and you'll go into exile. The people didn't want to believe it. They refused to believe it. They were convinced that it wasn't true. And therefore, they have come to the point now where the Pasuk Beis says, V'azchel melech Babel torim al Yerushalayim. They were up to the point where the Babylonian army was besieging Yerushalayim and still they refused to believe it. They were still convinced that it wouldn't happen. So we're really holding over here by really the last moment before the actual exile, before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, before the exile of the Jewish people. It's imminent. It's about to happen. And that's where the following story, the Pesukim of our Haftarah, that's the context in which they take place immediately before the Jewish people are actually exiled from Eretz Yisrael, the Beit HaMikdash destroyed, and the Babylonians take over Yerushalayim and the entire Eretz Yisrael. So let's take a look and see what happened. So Vayomer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu said, source 2, Hoyod Dvar Hashem Elai Leimor. Yirmiyahu tells over to the people here in this courtyard, in this guarded courtyard, the prison complex, that the word of Hashem was to me saying, Hinei, behold, Chanamel ben Shalom doidcho bo eilecho leimor. Behold, Chanamel, who's the son of Shalom doidcho, the son of Shalom, your uncle. So in other words, Chanamel is Yirmiyahu's cousin. Bo eilecho, behold, he's going to come to you, leimor, saying, Kinei lecho estodi. Buy for yourself my field, Asher ba'anosoyf. The field is located in Anosoyf, which is in, we'll see later, it's in the land of Binyamin. Because to you is the law of the redemption to buy it. He's referring to what we've discussed earlier, that in this week's parasha, the Torah tells us that if a person is in a situation where he's forced to sell his land, so then the Torah tells us that the relatives have a mitzvah to that land for their relative, get him back his land, purchase it from the buyer. So here, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu that Chanamel, his cousin, is going to come, and is going to tell him, I have to sell my field. And the Radak later on says that Hashem had told Chanamel to go to Yirmiyahu and say this. Now, that part is not recorded in the Navi, that Hashem told Chanamel to go, but the Radak later on suggests that perhaps Hashem actually arranged both sides of this. He didn't just inform Yirmiyahu of the Chanamel was coming of his own volition, rather Hashem sends Chanamel to Yirmiyahu, and he now informs Yirmiyahu that Chanamel is coming. But be that as it may, Chanamel will come to you, and they'll tell you, I have this field which I need to sell, and you, since you're my relative, you have the mitzvah of the Mishpat HaGeulah, the law of redemption, to buy the field from me. Now usually the way it works in the Psukim is, at first the person sells the field, and later on the relative will redeem it. But here, Chanamel will come and say, let's just skip the middleman. Instead of me selling it and you redeeming it, buy the field from me. So sure enough, Pasuk Ches says, Vayavoy Eilai Chanamel ben Doidi Kedvar Hashem. And Chanamel, the son of my uncle, Chanamel, my cousin, came to me, like the word of Hashem, El Chasar HaMatara, he came to him in the guarded courtyard, in the jail, Vayomer Eilai, and he said to me, Kineinoy Estodi Asher Ba'anosoy, please purchase my field, which is in Anosoy, Asher Be'eretz Binyamin, which is in the land of Binyamin. Since to you is the law of inheritance, since you are my close relative, that you would inherit me. So therefore, the chalad is incumbent upon you to redeem the field. Buy it, purchase it for yourself. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi then says, and I knew that it was the word of Hashem. So the Navi tells us that first, Yirmiyahu gets his message from Hashem that the Chanamel, his cousin, is going to come and ask him to purchase the field. And then the next pasuk tells us that indeed Chanamel came, and he asked Yirmiyahu to deal. The last five words of the pasuk need some explanation. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, "Vo'eida ki dvar Hashem hu," and I knew it was the word of Hashem. And what's that supposed to mean? Yirmiyahu HaNavi got a nevuah, right? It's not the first time Yirmiyahu HaNavi gets a nevuah. Yirmiyahu HaNavi had gotten many, many nevuahs before. Here he got a nevuah, Hashem spoke to him and said, Chanamel is coming. And he says, oh my goodness, Chanamel came. That must have been the word of Hashem. What exactly happened over here? What was the doubt about it being the word of Hashem? He got a message from Hashem very clearly. Where's the question? Where's the room for any doubt about whether this was the word of Hashem or not? So if you take a look at source number 3, Gimel, the Masuda says, Rosaloynar, Hiskalti bidasi yashad devar Hashem hu leknoisa be'emes lochein hoidi ali hadover. Masudai says, if you look at Pasuk Zayin, you read it carefully, you'll see that all Hashem said to Yirmiyahu is he informed him of an event that will take place. He said, Chanamel will come to you and tell you to buy the field. End of message. Hashem signs off. But he doesn't tell Yirmiyahu what he's supposed to do about that. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, well, let me figure out what to do here. Chanamel comes, like I said, right, that's exactly, I was expecting that, and he asked me to buy the field. But says Yirmiyahu HaNavi to himself, so what am I supposed to do now? So he said, it must be that the will of Hashem is that I should purchase it from him. Now Yirmiyahu says, should I buy it or not? As we'll see later, the doubt, why the doubt, what's the question over here? It's not necessarily a question of how much money, whether Yirmiyahu could afford it or not. You have to remember, the army of the king of Babel is surrounding the city. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, if everyone else maybe is in denial, but he himself knows that the end is near. So purchasing a field at this time will not be considered to be a very sound investment. So Yirmiyahu says, should I buy it or not? So he says, Yirmiyahu says to himself, logically, rationally, why did Hashem tell me that he's coming? It must be that Hashem wanted that when he comes, I should buy the field, and therefore, Yirmiyahu HaNavi said that, okay, fine, I'll buy the field. So according to Mitzuda, and the Radak as well, the Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he said, Bo'edak Hidvar Hashem, who I knew is the word of Hashem, what that means is, Hashem never told Yirmiyahu explicitly to purchase the field. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, I figured out on my own that the will of Hashem is for me to buy this field, and that's why he informed me of Hanamel's imminent arrival when he'll ask me to buy the field. That's the explanation of the Radak and the Tzudak. Now, according to this chat, the word Dizar Hashem is not so, it would seem to be not so precise. I knew it was the word of Hashem, he could have said, Bo'ida ki rotoin Hashem hu. That I knew it was the will of Hashem that I should buy. Because the Dizar Hashem hu, that it's the word of Hashem, that doesn't necessarily fit so well. The Malbim suggests a different explanation. The Malbim says if you really focus on the wording of the Pesukim, that if you take it very slowly, you'll see that there's actually a bit of a lack of clarity in Pesuk Zayin. Let's go with Pesuk Zayin again. Read it slowly and let's analyze it. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, Hinei Hanamel ben Shalom Zoytcha Bo'eilecha Lemar. That part is simple. He says, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, Hanamel, your cousin, is coming and he's going to tell you. What's he going to tell you? So he's going to say, Kinei lecha esodi asher ba'anochis. Buy for yourself my field which is in Anochis. So that's what Hashem tells Yirmiyahu that Hanamel will say. But now Hashem continues. He says, Ki lecha mishpat ha-ge'ula liknos. Because to you is the law of redemption to buy. Says the Malbim, those words, those five words, can be understood in two ways. Either that could be the end of Hanamel's statement to Yirmiyahu. Hanamel says to Yirmiyahu, buy the field in Anosois, and Hanamel explains, why should you buy it from me? Because the law is that you as a relative should redeem my field. That's one way to read it. It's the conclusion of Hanamel's words. However, the Malbim says another way to understand it. You could say that Hanamel's words are finished by the word Anosois. Hanamel, he's going to say, buy my field which is in Anosois. Good. Now Hashem continues, says, when that happens, you should do it, Hashem then adds in, after informing Yirmiyahu of what Hanamel will say, Hashem then inserts his own words and says, I'm telling you that he's going to come and ask you to purchase the field because Yirmiyahu, it's your responsibility, it's your obligation to purchase that field. Says the Malbim, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was not sure what Hashem meant here. Did he mean that Hanamel is going to say this whole thing all the way till the end of the pasuk, all the words of Hanamel, what Hanamel is going to say, he's going to explain to Yirmiyahu why he should buy the field? Or is Hashem explaining to Yirmiyahu why he should buy the field? So is Hashem commanding him to buy the field, or is he just telling him that Hanamel is going to ask him to buy the field? Says the Malbim, now when it came, Pasukhez, now if you look carefully at what Hanamel actually said to Yirmiyahu, you'll see that the words that Hanamel said to Yirmiyahu are a little different, slightly different than the words that to Yirmiyahu. But Hanamel comes, he says, that's pretty much the same, buy my field, which is in Anoset, Hashem Eretz Binyamin, Ki lechom mishpat ha-yirusha u'lechoha ge'ula k'neiloch. Those words that he ends off with, to you is the law of inheritance, and to come upon you to redeem it, k'neiloch, those words differ from the words that Hashem ended off with. So since what Hanano said was different, that Hashem had ended off, says the Malbim, Yirmiyahu HaNavi understood that the first time when Hashem had spoken to him, indeed, only the first part of what Hashem said were the words of Hanamel, and the ending, since Hanamel didn't repeat the ending exactly the way Hashem said it, he added in the idea of Yerusha, he added in Knei Lach, buy it for yourself. Therefore, Yirmiyahu HaNavi understood that when Hashem spoke to him, first he told him what Hanamel would say, and the words, the end of Pasuk Zayin, Ki Lecham Nishpat HaGe'ula Liknois, those are the words, And indeed, Hashem was commanding Yirmiyahu to buy the field, not informing him that Hanamel will explain to him why to buy the field. Rather, Hashem himself was telling Yirmiyahu that it's his responsibility to buy the field. Yirmiyahu says, okay, I understand now that Hashem was instructing me to buy the field, and therefore, Yirmiyahu went ahead and he purchased it. Now, according to the Mitzvot in the Radak, there was no indication in the words of Hashem that he should buy the field. Yirmiyahu figured it out on his own. According to the Malbim, Yirmiyahu understood that in the words of Hashem, Hashem was actually instructing him to purchase the field. He wasn't merely telling him that Hananel will say, Ki lechom mishpat hagi'ulo liknois, that it's incumbent upon you to buy it. It was Hashem instructing Yirmiyahu that he should buy it, because it's his job, it's his responsibility. Let's continue. Page 3 says, Yirmiyahu Anovi, so Yirmiyahu says, I went ahead and I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, from my cousin, Asher Ba'anosais. I bought the field that was, and I weighed out for him the silver, the money, 7 shkolim, which the Mefarshim Chazal say was 7 monim, and Asora HaKasef is 10 tzloim, which seems to be a very large amount of money. So that's the amount of money that Yirmiyahu Hanavi paid Hananel for the field. So we wrote it down in the document. We wrote a document of sale. And I signed, according to some of Horsham, it means Yirmiyahu signed. According to others, it means Voechtoim means I made Hananel sign it. I brought witnesses to witness the sale. Voeskel akesef moiznoim, says in front of the witnesses again, I weighed the money on a scale, it should be 100% clear that I gave the proper amount of money, it was real money, it weighed the right amount, everything was done properly. Voekach es sefer hamikdos, and now says Yirmiyahu, I took the document of sale, es hechosom. So again, it's a bit unclear, all these details, exactly what they mean, es hechosom. Means it's a description of the Sefer HaMiknah, that it was sealed. HaMitzvah VaHachukim, this is not clear what it means. Either it means that this document was written and it was made properly based on all the rules of the Torah, based on all of the laws of the land of those times. Or alternatively, that there was another document which set out in it all the details and the conditions that a field has to be sold with, again, the conditions of the Torah and the conditions of the time. There was one document of sale which just said the field was sold. There's a separate document which listed all of the conditions and all of the details of the sale, which the main documents didn't really get into. Okay. The Es HaGolui. And the Golui, so the question is this again, is this a part of the description of the Sefer HaMikna? Is this part of the description of the sale document that it was Goloi, which what would it mean that it's Goloi? Goloi means revealed. So according to Rashi, that would mean that it was validated in Beis Din. It was that everything was done properly, there was transparency, everything was done out in the open. Beis Din validated the document, that the witnesses were legitimate witnesses, and everything was fine and dandy. Well, alternatively, there's a separate document called the Goloi, which says that this transaction was done out in the open, and everyone knew what was happening, and no one protested, no one claimed the field's really mine, or no one had any sort of complaints against the sale taking place. Finally, the Radak says an interesting thing. This is actually a copy of the original document of sale. So we have the real document was sealed, as the Pasuk said before, and that was put away. So it's and now if someone wants to see what it says in there to ensure that the sale was done properly or whatever it might be, so instead of opening up the seal every time, they had a separate document which was an exact copy of the original document. If anyone has anything any reason to want to check out what this document says, they can just look in the Goloi, in the copy of the document, and they'll know what it says. They don't have to bother unsealing the original document. Okay. And I gave the document of sale together with all the other things that were listed in the previous pasuk. El Baruch ben Neriah ben Machseah. He gave it over to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Machseah, Le'enei Chanamel ben Zoidi. I'm sorry, Le'enei Chanamel Zoidi, in front of Chanamel, my uncle. Now, previously we said Chanamel was his cousin. Here it says Chanamel, my uncle. So, either this was a different uncle whose name was Chanamel. He had one uncle whose name was Shalom, who had a son named Chanamel. According to some, this is another uncle whose name was actually Chanamel. Or, Chanamel Zoidi doesn't mean Chanamel, my uncle. It means Chanamel, the son of my uncle. And sometimes we find this idea that a person is referred to like that. Most notably, we find by Avraham Tukves, Lois Achim, Lois's brother. Now, Lois wasn't his brother. It was the son of his brother. So here also, it means Chanamel, my uncle, doesn't mean Chanamel, his uncle. It means Chanamel, the son of his uncle, Chanamel, his cousin. Okay, so he gave it over to Baruch, the son of Eliyah, the son of Machseah, in front of Chanamel, Uleinei Ho'edim, and in front of the witnesses, Hakoysim, B'Sefer HaMikna, who had signed on the documents of sale, Uleinei Kol HaYehudim HaYoshim B'Chatar HaMatara, in front of all the Jews who were in this guarded courtyard in this prison. Okay, so he gives it over to Baruch anyway. What's the purpose? V'atave'ez Baruch le'inei hemoimor. I commanded Baruch in front of him, say. In other words, when Yirmiyahu HaNavi made this transaction, when he gives over the documents to Baruch ben Eliyah, so everyone's looking on in puzzlement. Oh, what's going on over here? On one hand, Yirmiyahu HaNavi is telling us that we're doomed, that the Babylonians who are besieging us, they're going to come, they're going to capture the city, they're going to take our king captive, we're going to go into exile. And on the other hand, he's purchasing a field. What's he doing purchasing a field? Is he out of his mind? What's he purchasing a field for if he really believes that we're about to go into exile? So Yom Yom explains. Koyom Hashem Tzavokoy to the Kei Yisrael. So says Hashem, the God of the Jewish people. Lo koyach esas forimo eilet. Hashem said that Baruch should take these documents, they say for HaMikno Hazeh, they say Chosom, they say for HaGolo Yazeh, the documents of Seol, and the Chosom, and the Sefer HaGoloi, as we explained them before, unasatom bechli choret, you should put them in an earthenware vessel, l'man yamdu yomim rabim, so they should last for a long time. The Gemara says, Megillah learns from here that when they put Sefer Torah in Geniza, and it has to be put away, it has to be put in Shemus, that I don't know if, I'm not sure if it's a practice, but it's supposed to be put in a kli choret, in an earthenware vessel, so this way it lasts, it doesn't get ruined. It's supposed to say preserved, presumably, in an earthenware vessel. It says over here, put them into an earthenware vessel, l'man yamdu yamim rabim, so it should last for a long time. Why? Because so says Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, oid yikonu vatim v'sodoy sufromim boris hazoy. They will yet buy houses and fields and vineyards in this land. Says Yom-Yanovi to those who are around him, he says, if it looks like I'm crazy, it looks like I'm doing something, it doesn't make very much sense, you should know that Hashem says that we'll yet buy houses and fields and vineyards in this land. And therefore, hold on to the documents, preserve the documents, put it into the earthenware vessel, make sure that it remains, that it stays, that when the time comes and people are purchasing land and fields in this land, the documents will be around and be able to prove ownership of the field. That's how Yirmiyahu HaNavi explains what's going on over here, this transaction, this purchase of the land that he's doing despite the fact that the enemy is surrounding the city. And as we'll see later on, really it's most clear, as far as from the Haftarah is concerned, it's most clear over here that the idea behind Hashem arranging this transaction, this sale, from Hanamel to Yirmiyahu HaNavi to send a message to the people that they shouldn't lose hope. They shouldn't give up, they shouldn't think they're doomed, and it's all over. They'll be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, and they'll never come back. They should realize that yes, there'll be a time when they'll come back, and there'll be a time when they'll once again purchase fields, they'll purchase vineyards in this land, they'll come and resettle the land at some point later on, and as they go into the Galus, they shouldn't be miyayeh, they shouldn't give up hope, that they'll never come back to Eretz Yisrael. They should realize that it's temporary, Hashem will bring them back to Eretz Yisrael later on. So Hashem, at this time, when presumably the people were frightened, the people were saddened, perhaps on the brink of despair, that this land which they and their forefathers have lived in for hundreds of years, they're about to be exiled, they're uprooted from their birthplace, from their land, and perhaps they think that they'll never see it again. Hashem gives them some words of encouragement, some words of comfort. They know that they will come and they will come back to once again settle the land and buy fields and vineyards there. And that is how Yom explains the message behind these actions that Hashem commanded him to do. The question that we can ask over here is, why did Hashem desire that this transaction should take place specifically in this manner? What do I mean? Why did Hashem want specifically that Hananel should come and sell the land to Yirmiyahu in this manner of the Geula, of the redemption? Hananel specifically, Hashem had it that Yirmiyahu's relative, his cousin, should come and instruct Yirmiyahu to buy the land as a relative, as a redeemer. Well, Hashem, for the same price, could have spoken to Yirmiyahu Hanavi and told him, listen, go down the road, go to Yankel, the farmer, half a mile up the road, and go and tell him that you want to purchase his field. Or perhaps Hashem could instruct him, you know, you go 2 miles north, you'll see a big for sale sign on the field over there, and go buy that field. Why was it specifically that Hashem wanted to bring out this message through this unique kind of transaction of the geula, of the relative redeeming the field on behalf of his relative? Why did Hashem specifically want to bring it out in that manner? Actually, for the same price, it's in a regular sale. The point is to bring out the fact that they'll once again purchase fields in this land later on, so that Hashem wanted Yirmiyahu to purchase a field to show the Jewish people they had confidence that they would settle the land, that it was actually worth something to own a piece of land because they would come back there. So let him just purchase a piece of land. Why did it have to be through his cousin, through this geula, through redeeming the field in this manner? So I found that the Alshech in this week's parasha on the pasuk which talks about this kind of transaction, so although he doesn't directly address this, but it seems that his words would fit very well to explain it. If we take a look on the next page, which is page 4, either you have the number 4 on your page or you don't, but it's source number 5, the Tzuk of this week, Parsha. The pause will just go through them quickly, and then we'll see how what the Alshech tells us is alluded to in these Tzukim. It says again, Ki amucho chicho mochami achuzo soy. If your brother becomes poor, he falters, mochami achuzo soy, and he sells from his inheritance, uvo ve'aloi hakoroi ve'lov, and his redeemer, his relative, who's close to him, will come and redeem it for him, to go alochiv, to redeem that which his brother sold. That if a person becomes poor, he's forced to sell his land, so his relative should come and redeem it for him. The ish ki lo yihye aloi goyel. So a man who does not have a redeemer, Hashem says perhaps his own hand will reach, in other words, he'll find himself in a position where he's able to redeem his own field. So, skipping one passage in the middle, it says, if the person himself cannot afford it, can't find the means to be able to return the money to the one who bought his field, to be able to buy his field back. So his sale, the field that he sold, shall be in the hand of the one who bought it until the year of Yoivel. So he'll go out in the year of Yoivel, come back to the original person who inherited it from his family. So the Torah tells us three possibilities, three levels. A person forced to sell his field. His relative should redeem it for him. If he has no relative who can redeem it for him, so perhaps he'll find himself in a position sometime later when he can redeem it himself. If that doesn't happen, says the Taiva, then when the Yovel year comes, the field will go back to him. So that's the simple reading of the Tzukim, and it's the laws that the Taiva instructs about selling and redeeming a field. However, the Alshech says that this is actually a remez, this is actually what's being alluded to here, is the idea of the exile of Jewish people. And he says like this. So the pasuk says, "Ki yamucho chicho." Says if your brother will fall, will falter. Says that's referring to the Aseret Hashvatim, the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom and Eretz Yisrael. So they first faltered, they fell, not financially, but in mitzvah. They fell in their mitzvah observance. Says, so what's going to happen then? They're going to sell from their inheritance, they're going to be exiled by Sanhedrin, they'll sell their fields to their captors. Maybe not sell them, give them over to their captors. What's going to happen then? Then the Torah says, what's going to happen then? Later on, the brethren of the Aseret Hashkodim of the 10 tribes, that's referring to the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, they'll come and they'll buy those fields, the fields of their brothers in the northern kingdom of Eretz Israel, the fields of the Aseret Hashkodim, Yehuda and Binyamin, they'll buy them from the captors of the Aseret Hashkodim, they'll buy them from the enemy. However, later on, it'll come a time when Yehuda and Binyamin themselves will go into exile. For them, it's the ish ki lo yihye lo goyel. So for them, for Yehuda and Yamin, there's no one left to redeem on their behalf. No one's going to purchase their fields when they're exiled, when they go into exile. Then there'll be no one to purchase their fields. In the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the entire Jewish people will be exiled. There'll be no Jews left there to redeem the field. So that point that Hashem says, so don't give up then. Despite the fact that you think there's no one there to redeem your fields, there's no one there to purchase them on your behalf, don't give up. Don't have to show them that there's no hope, that their old hope is lost for the Jewish people maintaining ownership, possession, control of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says no. Hashem says there's a predestined time when the exile will end, when the redemption will come. But don't give up, even then, don't give up that before then, you won't be able to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Because Hashem says, you know, Chazal tell us, and the Pasuk says, V'itol achisheno, Hashem, that the Chazal tell us that we can hasten it. Even if Hashem has set a time for the redemption, set a time when we'll come out of the exile, but we can hasten it. Through the Torah and mitzvah, through accruing the chusim, we can earn that the geula, that the redemption should be hastened. So Hashem says that if he sigal yado, you must akdei geulasa. He says the Al-Shef, the Pasuk alludes to this. It says that for them, for the Yehudim and Yamin, who lo yihye lo goyel, there's no one to redeem it for them, but you should know, you can find yourself in a position, you can redeem it yourself. You through your own nice and tithim, through your own good deeds, you can have the chosim and the merit, that you can earn your redemption on your own. You can hasten the time of the redemption when you come out of your exile. Hashem says that if you can't manage to do tshuva sufficiently to be able to earn your redemption earlier, to hasten the redemption, if you can't do that, as the pasuk continues, you can't manage to do it, still, don't give up, don't think that if you don't earn it on your own, that if you're not able to reach the level of tshuva on your own, to hasten the redemption, don't think that then you'll be stuck in exile forever. Rather, you should know there's a limit. There's a time limit for the exile. You'll only remain in the Golos even if you can't manage to do the hashiv, the tshuva. You can't manage to do the tshuva on your own. There still is a limit. This the soul, but you were sent into exile. Will only last Ashenasa Yovel. Will only last till the time of the Yovel. Yovel, what does Yovel mean? Why is the 50th year called Yovel? Yovel refers to the shofar. Hashem says the time will come, there'll be the shofar of the message of the redemption, heralding the geula, heralding the redemption, the time will come. The otzav ha-yovel v'shov la'achuzosoy, Hashem, if you can't manage it on your own, Hashem will bring about, in whatever way He does, Hashem will bring about through His divine inspiration that the Jewish people will come to do tshuva. If they can't reach it on their own, Hashem will send the inspiration, Hashem will send the motivation, and bring the people to do tshuva, and then Hashem will bring the redemption. So the Al-Shef tells us that in these psukim, besides for the on the simple level, being the laws of selling and redeeming a field, but there's a message in here about the geula as well, is actually referring to the exile of Yehuda and Binyamin. It's referring to this exile which was a bad place in the times of Yirmiyahu, Hanavi. This exile is referred to in these psukim. So perhaps that's the idea, that's the reason why Hashem sent this message to Yirmiyahu specifically in this manner. Hashem didn't have Yirmiyahu just go and purchase some field from someone there to bring out the message that the Jewish people will come back. Hashem specifically had Hadamel, who was Yirmiyahu's relative, come and tell him to purchase the field in the manner of the Geula, in the manner of redeeming the field. And perhaps he was alluding to this idea, which Al-Shef tells us is being alluded to in the Psukim of this halacha of the Geula, of the redemption, which is what Yirmiyahu was told to do. These Psukim allude to this idea that even when Yehuda and Binyamin, they go into Galus, they shouldn't give up. They have the ability to bring the redemption, they have the ability to bring the Geula on their own. And even if they don't, they still shouldn't lose hope. The time will come, the Yoivel, the Shofar will come to gather everyone together and bring everyone back to Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps that's the idea why specifically Hashem had this message to Jewish people be done in this manner through having Yirmiyahu redeem the field, not just purchase any field, but redeem the field from his relative. He's alluding to ideas in these Sukkim, which are telling that the Jewish people, specifically in the time of this Galus, so this exile of Yehuda Binyamin, not to give up hope that Hashem will ultimately bring them back. Perhaps on maybe a bit of a deeper level, perhaps there's another idea that comes down from this parasha, from the Torah's discussion of these laws of the sale of the field, and of the redemption of the field by the relative. This is based on some other sources that I saw, but my own little twist. Again, the pasuk says that if a person is and like the Al-Shef tells us, other sources say it's not only referring to financially a person finds himself in desperate straits, but spiritually the person falls, he falters. And the pasuk says, "Ubo goya v'yakoroi veilo." Hashem says that the first level is that if a person sins, that those who are around him, those who are closest to him, his relatives, they see that he's slipping, he's falling, he's sinning. Ubo goya v'yakoroi veilo. They should come and he should redeem him. They should, the mitzvah of the Torah, those who are aware of his sins, those who are aware of his decline in Zavodas Hashem, they should come and fulfill the mitzvah of send him straight, inform him, let him know that what he's doing is wrong, he should improve himself. And that's the first level for which Hashem hopes that that's sufficient to turn the person around and to bring him to do tshuva, to bring him to change his way. That's the first way. And Hashem says he doesn't have a good enough relative, a close enough friend who feels comfortable enough to tell him, or so perhaps it doesn't work. The relative, the friend, they can't set him straight. So Hashem says Hashem says, okay, so we'll have to bring him to learn the message on his own. Hashem says, I'll have to send him a message that he should come to this on his own, that he has to do tshuva, that he has to change his way. So Hashem has to bring some sort of message, however it is, whether it's through some sort of yisurim, some sort of punishment or suffering, whatever it may be. Hashem sends the person some sort of message, a wake-up call, that perhaps that'll be sufficient to arouse the person, to inspire him to change his way. And perhaps that'll work if the person's not so set in his ways, he hasn't become so entrenched in his improper ways, then perhaps that wake-up message will be sufficient to get him. He's Tiko Yodoy on his own, he'll be able to come to realization that he has to do tshuva, he has to change his ways. However, the Torah says, V'im loy moto yodoy dei hashiv loy. However, if he can't do it on his own, the person, he's so deep, he's so entrenched in his improper ways, he can't get out of it on his own. Despite all the messages that Hashem sends him, he can't manage to get out on his own. Then the pasuk says he'll be there Ashnas HaYoyvel. The person can't manage to do it on his own. Then Hashem says, then the person will remain that way until Ashnas HaYoyvel. Until Hashem says, sends his shofar blast. Hashem says sends his own message. Hashem inspires the person. A person can't manage to do it on his own. So Hashem will give him the inspiration that Hashem will inspire him in Hashem's own ways to come to do tshuva. But ultimately, for every person, ultimately will be able to reach that level of tshuva, of being able to repent and change their ways. Ideally, it should come from the most natural way, which is from his friends, from his relatives, inspire him to do tshuva. If that doesn't work, then Hashem says, okay, I'll have to send him a message. He should come to realization on his own. Hashem sends his messages. Sometimes they're painful messages. If even that doesn't work, Hashem says the time will come. If you can't do tshuva on your own, then I'll, so to speak, I'll make you do tshuva. I'll make the tshuva happen within you, and that'll bring you back close to me. And perhaps that's implicit in the message over here of Yirmiyahu to Jewish people as well. That specifically through the Geula, Hashem sends a message to Yirmiyahu, and always to Jewish people, that despite the fact that you're entrenched in your sins. Now, with the Zara of Yerayis, the Sheikh Zamim, the terrible sins that were taking place at the time, which is why the Beit HaMikdash had to be destroyed, why the people had to be exiled, Hashem sends a message to Jewish people that don't give up on yourselves. Forget about Eretz Yisrael. But don't give up on yourselves. The message of the Parsha, of the discussion of the Geula, of redeeming the land, is a message in the Ruchnias and spirituality as well. Don't give up on yourselves. The fact that Hashem, that you sinned, and Hashem at first tried to allow you that you should do tshuva on your own through less explicit messages, through the hecheach hecheach, through the rebuke of your friends, your neighbors. So that didn't work. And the Hashem sent messages to you in other ways. That didn't work either. The Aseret Hashvatim were exiled. You weren't too by that. Hashem sent other messages, and that still didn't change you. So Hashem has no choice but to exile. Send you to exile, but don't give up on yourself. Ultimately, Hashem will help you to be able to do tshuva, and you'll be able to repent, you'll be able to come back, you'll be able to come back close to Hashem, you'll be able to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps on a number of levels, this message of hope for the Jewish people through the sale of the piece of land is not limited just to the fact that there'll be a time in the future when Hashem will bring them back. But there's a much deeper message. There's a message that the Asaf tells us that specifically, that perhaps specifically through the sale took place through the mechanism of Geula, of the relative redeeming the field, is sending a much deeper message that the Jewish people should realize that Hashem will ultimately redeem them. They could bring about their own redemption. The Hisigo Yadoi. They could bring about their own redemption through tshuva, through repentance, through Ma'asim Tovim, through good deeds. They could accrue this chusim to bring the redemption earlier through their actions. Even if that doesn't happen, Hashem will ultimately redeem them. And ultimately, on a deeper level, the idea they shouldn't give up on themselves, that they can, even if they can't change themselves, because they're so entrenched in their sins, Hashem will help them, that ultimately they have to see after Shnaya, to be able to tshuva, to be able to come back. So it's not merely a message, yes, you'll come back to Eretz Yisrael, but it's a message as well, of that you can do tshuva, you can come back to Hashem, you can reach the level of ruchnis and spirituality where you were previously. Now this message of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, this sale, this purchase of the land by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, perhaps the people at the time seemed extremely strange. The people at that time, as we'll see later, hopefully, the people at the time, there was really no hope. The huge Babylonian army, mighty Babylonian army, was surrounding the city, and the people were dying. The pasuk later on says that that they can't even fight back against the Babylonians because of the sword and the hunger and the pestilence, the desert. There was the terrible things going on at the time. And perhaps at the time people said, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, what are you doing? You're buying a field, you have to be out of your mind, like we mentioned before. But Yirmiyahu HaNavi, despite that, brings a message to Jewish people. A very strong message. There's a story told of the Panav Zhirov. At the time, I believe it was during the Second World War, and the German army, there was a point when it got pretty scary, they were coming pretty close to Eretz Yisrael, North Africa, they were coming towards Eretz Yisrael, and things looked pretty scary. And at the time, the Panav Zhirov, he met up with this Rabbi Tzal Dolsky, who was another Godoil, another great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. The Panav Zhirov said to Rabbi Tzal Dolsky, he said, you should know that today I bought a piece of land in Bnei Brak to build the yeshiva. And he says, I borrowed a lot of money, a whole bunch of money, to be able to purchase this land to build the yeshiva. The Panav Zhirov continued, and he said, so you're going to ask me, you're going to say you're out of your mind. I'm going to tell you, say out of your mind, the German army is marching this direction, right? They're plowing right through the British army, whoever was standing there trying to to stop them. They're plowing right through them. They're heading right to Eretz Yisrael. What are you thinking? Things don't look so good now. Why now are you purchasing a piece of land to build a yeshiva? That's what you're doing now. So the Panovich Zhirov quoted this section of Sefer Yirmiyahu. He said, Yirmiyahu, I'm lovely at the time, things looked even worse. The Babylonian army was around Yerushalayim. They were around the city. And yet Yirmiyahu, I'm lovely, goes and purchases that piece of land, and he brings a message to the Jewish people. And the message is that despite the fact that right now things look bad, things look terrible, and it looks like there's no hope, but we have to have trust in Hashem, we have to realize Hashem promised us, Hashem promises us, that we'll come back to Eretz Yisrael, there'll be redemption. And the fact that right now things look so bad, but we don't live in the moment. You have to live with the belief, live with the fact that Hashem tells us that the time of the redemption will come, that things will ultimately be good. You have to live with that, not just to believe it, certainly you have to believe it. But not just to believe it, you have to live like that. You have to live with the understanding, live with the realization that it's not all about right now. Live with the realization, with the understanding that Hashem will ultimately redeem us. He said, the Gemara says in the Megillah, in source number 6, he says, the Gemara says, that there were many prophets of the Jewish people, double the amount of people left in Mitzrayim. There were 1.2 million prophets amongst the Jewish people. 1.2 million. So why is our Sefer Nevi'im so short? Why do we have so little Nevuah recorded? If there were 1.2 million Nevi'im, why is there so little prophecy recorded? Prophecies that were necessary for future generations, they were written down. Prophecies that were not needed for future generations, they weren't written down. Says the Panovich Zhirov. Panovich Zhirov said, if this Nevuah, if this prophecy of Yirmiyahu, this story was about a business transaction between Yirmiyahu, Hanavi, and Hananel, it's written down in the Navi, if it's recorded, it's something that we need to know. It's something that's relevant to us. And even when things seem desperate, when things seem terrible, we have to realize that the Torah will go on. There'll be yeshivas. No matter what happens with the German army, what they're doing, but we have to realize there'll be yeshivas, there'll be Torah, there'll be Yiddishkeit. And it's not going anywhere, and we have to live with that realization. Not just believe it, not just know it intellectually. We have to live like that. It says the Pinnacle of Punish and I'm living like that. I thought today, yes, despite the fact that things seem so dark, so dreary, for people are very pessimistic about what's going to be the future, but says the Panovich Zhirov, I'm living now. I don't live in now in the desperation of now. I live in the future, but I know that there'll be a future for Torah, there'll be a future for Klal Yisrael, we'll have yeshiva. Says the Panovich Zhirov, that's why I purchased today a plot of land where the yeshiva stands today, the Panovich Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael now in Bnei Brak. It's on that piece of land that the Panovich Zhirov bought back then, when during the World War, when things seemed to be heading in a very bad direction. That's where the Panovich Yeshiva thrives today, because the Panovich Zhirov had this vision of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, which he learned from Yirmiyahu HaNavi, this vision to be able to see into the future that it's not all about right now, even if things now seem difficult. Still, we have to see in the future the positivity of the future, the light at the end of the tunnel, that Hashem will ultimately take care of us, that things will ultimately be good. And a number of Sfarim point out that there's many messages Hashem sent to the Jewish people through Yirmiyahu as words. He said, I told over to Yirmiyahu, this is what you should say to the people, and Yirmiyahu went and said it over to the people. It's only on rare occasions where you find that Hashem tells the Navi to do a specific action, do something. So don't just tell over words to the people, but you have to actually do something practical to give over the message to the people. And this is one of those places. And the reason is because it's difficult. A person naturally lives in the present. A person lives based on what's going on in the surroundings, basically based on the environment around him. But over here, in order to give over this message of being able to live a life of seeing the future, of bitachon, of trust in Hashem, that things will be good later on, that idea is not something that can just be given over in words. That's something that a person could only reach that level, a person could only appreciate it and really, really believe it through his actions, through living in that manner. It's well known that the Chafetz Chaim, first of all, he had very little furniture in his house. And the reason was, he said, it's only temporary, we only live here temporarily. Why should I furnish my house with any significant furnishings if we're only here temporarily? But also, Chafetz Chaim had a little suitcase. He had a little bag of the things that Mashiach will come any moment. He should be ready. He should be able to just grab his bag and go with Mashiach. Shouldn't have to start packing up. And the idea is, the Chafetz Chaim, he didn't live in the present. He lived a life of, you see the future coming, I believe, we say, Animamin, Via Tamashiach, Tafafishis Mameach, Hakilai B'chol Yem Sheyavoy, any day he can come. He didn't just say it, he didn't just believe it, but he lived it. He practically, it was a practical thing for him, and Mashiach's coming, and it could be any moment, Mashiach's gonna come. He lived with that trust, with that belief in Hashem, with that belief in the Geula, and the redemption, that it can come at any moment. He lived like that. He didn't just say it, he didn't just believe it, but it was he lived it. Chafetz Chaim lived it, and this Nevuah tells us we have to live it. In what way exactly? Not necessarily everyone should go home and pack up a bag that the Mashiach comes any moment. You should grab that. You have to live a life of the awareness, of the belief that Mashiach coming is going to be a geula, is going to be a redemption. That things will turn out to be better. We live in a time where there's lots of uncertainty and things seem difficult in the political world and. In the terrorism threats and so on and so forth, and there was Muslims taking over Europe and spreading all over the world, and things seem scary. But a person has to live his life in a way of the realization that it's temporary. Hashem is ultimately redeemed us. Hashem will ultimately take us out of this galus. That's something that we have to live with, not just to believe it, not just to say it, but to live with it in a practical way, to live our lives in that manner. Turn to the next page. Page 5. It's source 7, but number 7 ended up on the bottom of the previous page. Yemiyahu HaNovi now goes on. Yemiyahu HaNovi says, now he says a tefillah, a prayer to Hashem. V'espalul el Hashem, and I daven that pray to Hashem acharei titi. I said a prayer to Hashem after I gave over this document of sale to Baruch ben Eliyah. I said the following prayer to Hashem. And the Malbim explains that in this prayer, Yirmiyahu HaNovi, at the end of it, Yirmiyahu HaNovi is going to express his surprise at the fact that Hashem instructed him to buy this field when the exile, the Golus, was imminent. The Malbim says that Yirmiyahu HaNovi specifically said this after he completed the transaction. It was all finished. He didn't want to give the impression that he was hesitant about purchasing the field. Yirmiyahu HaNovi first, he took care of it. Hashem said he did it. Then afterwards, he said this tefillah in which he expresses his surprise at what Hashem asked him to do. So he says, Aho Hashem Elokim. He says, Aho, I'm not sure exactly what the word means, but Hashem, Hinei ato osisa shashamayim v'sa'oretz, behold, you made the heavens and the earth, v'chirchacho ha'godoyul v'zve'achon ha'netuyah. It's your great strength and your outstretched arm. Lo yipolein l'cho dovor. There's nothing that's beyond you. There's nothing that's too hard for you. There's nothing that's removed from you. You can do anything. And it seems as if, as we'll see through all the psukim here, it seems that that Yirmiyahu HaNovi is leading up to the expressing his surprise at what Hashem asked him to do. So he precedes that by saying that certainly I believe with 100% certainty that Hashem, that you run the world and you created the world and you're in charge of the world and everything you do is proper. I'm not for a moment doubting that what you told me to do is improper, that it doesn't make sense. I acknowledge 100%, I submit myself to your will, because that there's nothing else in the world besides for you. I just want to understand exactly what it is you're instructing me to do. So, for a number of psukim, Yirmiyahu HaNovi brings out this point that there's no doubt in his mind that what Hashem told him to do, that Hashem's commands, Hashem's instructions are proper, and that it works out, and it makes sense. He says, Hashem, you're oise chesed lo'alosim, you do kindness for thousands of generations, and mishalim azoin ovo yisalchik b'neim achreihem. You pay back the sins of the fathers literally to the lack of their children after them. So he says, Hashem gives kindness if a person does the right thing, a person keeps the Torah and the mitzvahs properly, then Hashem does kindness, Hashem gives rewards to not only the person himself, but the future generations as well. If a person acts improperly, the Avoyin Avoyis, the sins of the forefathers, so Hashem pays them back, he punishes as well to the children as well, but only Achareyim, only if the children follow in their path. Right, if their children follow after them, then Hashem punishes the children for the sins of the forefathers which they have continued. Hakel, the mighty one, Hagadol, the great one, Hagibor, the strong one, Hashem Tzevoko is Shemoy. Hashem, the Lord of hosts, is his name. So he acknowledges Hashem as being the great one, the mighty one, and the strong one. And Chazal in this pasuk tell us that the truth is we find in the Torah, Sefer Devarim, that which we say in the Shemayin Esrei three times a day, Moshe Rabbeinu referred to Hashem as Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, the Hanoira. We say in Shemayin Esrei, the first book of Shemayin Esrei. And here, Yirmiyahu HaNavi noticeably left out Hanoira, the awesome one. He says Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, but here Yirmiyahu HaNavi leaves out the word Hanoira. And Chazal take note of this. They say that it wasn't just by chance that Yirmiyahu left out the word Hanoira here. We saw this Gemara once before. The Gemara Masechet Yumah Daf Samach Beis, Samach Tesamun Beis says that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, why they called the Knesset HaGedolah the Great Assembly. The Gemara says that the reason is because they returned the glory of Hashem, of the Jewish people, to its original state. How so? The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu referred to Hashem as Hakel HaGodol HaGibor V'Hanoiro. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he saw with his own eyes Nebuchadnezzar and his army going into the Beit HaMikdash, making a ruckus in the Beit HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said to himself, where's the awe of Hashem? Hanoiro, the awesome one. Where's Hashem's awesomeness? If Nebuchadnezzar and his army are going into the Beit HaMikdash, defiling it, making a ruckus there, where is Hashem's awesomeness? If Hashem's awesomeness was apparent, there's no way such a thing could happen. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi said that Hashem's awesomeness is not apparent, therefore, that's why he left out the word Hanoyo. Despite no doubt, Yirmiyahu HaNavi believed that Hashem's awesomeness was true, it existed, he believed in Hashem's awesomeness. Since it wasn't apparent in the world, therefore he left out the word Hanoyo. Later on, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came along and they said, no. Hashem's awesomeness is still apparent despite the fact that the Jewish people, Eretz Yisrael was captured, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Jewish people were exiled. Despite all that, Hashem's awesomeness is apparent in the fact that the Jewish people continue to survive in exile. The fact that the other nations have never completely finished off the Jewish people, have never completely destroyed them, that's a testament to Hashem's awesomeness, that there's always the awe of Hashem, the reverence that the world has of Hashem, but if they realize it or not, consciously or subconsciously, that is what ensures that the Jewish people are never destroyed. Because always Hashem's awesomeness is always there, it's always present, and it's always apparent from the fact that the Jewish people, despite all we've been through, inquisition, pogroms, whatever we've been through, all of that, we continue to exist, and not only that, we thrive, that's a testament to Hashem's awesomeness, the fact that Hashem's awe and Hashem's revered by the entire world, therefore they never could come to the point that they can completely destroy us. If Pam points out that something that we have to keep in mind, we say in Shemayna Esrei every day, to think about the fact that 60 years ago, 70 years ago, wherever up to mind, 70 years ago, there were many people who believed that the vibrance of the Jewish people, that the yeshivas that there were, the Jewish life that there was before the Holocaust, that it was over. We never see it again. There was sort of Jewish religious life as it had been known before the war. People thought that it'll never be seen again. The destruction that there was because of the Holocaust in Europe. People were convinced that it was over. It would never be seen again. And as we look around and we see how vibrant Jewish life is all over the world, especially here in America, the numbers of B'nai Torah, people learning Torah, the yeshivas, the shuls all over the country, the Jewish life as we see it here in the world in the present day. We have to see in it the Neira, the awesomeness of Hashem. So besides for appreciating it, but to see in it the Neira, the awesomeness of Hashem, the fact that we continue to exist and we continue to be vibrant, that's a testament to the awesomeness of Hashem. That's something that a person can't forget, a person has to constantly be cognizant of, a person should be aware of, a person could remind himself of it when he says the Shema Esrei, and we say that Hashem is Hanoiro. You know, the Navi continues in Surah number 9, that Hashem is Gedoyim Ho'etza, Hashem is great in counsel, because Hashem has his etza, his advice, so to speak. Because Hashem's thoughts and his ideas are great. They're beyond our comprehension. Bravo alilo. And Hashem's actions as well, they're great and also beyond our comprehension. Asher einecho tukucho yis al kol darchei b'nei odom. And Hashem's eyes are open. Hashem is constantly aware and watching over all the actions of a person. Lo seis l'ish kidrochov v'chifim ma'alolov. To give to a person like his ways and like the fruits of his actions. What does that mean? That Hashem is constantly aware of, Hashem is constantly watching, keeping track of a person's deeds. But not only the things that a person actually does, his kidrachov, his ways, the things that he does, not only the things that he does, but the fruits of his actions as well. Even the things that come, that happen, that come about as a result of a person's actions, unintended. Person had never intended to do, he had no idea perhaps that it came out of his actions even, but Hashem keeps track of those things as well. Hashem ensures that that a person is rewarded for even additional results, positive results of his good deeds, and Chas v'Shalom the opposite as well. There's another explanation of what the Navi means when he says Hashem's eyes are pekucha yisal kol darchei b'nei adam. Hashem's eyes are open. Hashem observes all the ways of a person in order to pay back a person properly. There's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Hazino, pasuk says Hatzur, the rack, referring to Hashem tamim pa'oloi, his work. What Hashem does is perfect. Ki chol derochav mishpat, that all His ways are just. Kel emuna ve'ein avel tzadik v'yosher. So kel emuna, a God of faithfulness, it could be relied on. Ve'ein avel, there's no sin, there's no iniquity. Tzadik v'yosher, He's righteous and He's just. That's what the pasuk says. Description of Hashem in Parshas Hazino. And the question is, it seems to be a bit of a strange description of Hashem. If a person, in our times, the person was regarded as a great person, a big tzaddik, and a talmid chacham, so would we describe him as ein ovel? He doesn't, he lacks iniquity. Doesn't seem to be an appropriate description for a person who's so much greater than that. A regular person, so you could say, yeah, he lives his life, he's a pretty simple person. Ain't all well, doesn't do anything too bad, he's a regular person. But a person who excels, who's kel emuna, can be relied upon, is called the rochav mishpat, he's tzaddik v'yashar, he's righteous and he's just, such a person we describe as ain't all well, he doesn't sin. Where does the ain't all well, what place does the ain't all well have here? And it's explained, it's suggested that if a person has to carry out justice against someone, a person has to, he's in the position where he has to punish someone, inevitably, through that, the person is going to cause an injustice. How so? A person needs to be punished. A person committed a sin, committed a crime, we need to punish him, he has to be incarcerated, he has to be put in jail. A person, if he did something really severe, he has to be put to death. A person, when he has to be punished, inevitably, there's going to be fallout from that. The person himself may have committed a crime, he deserves to be put to death. But look what happens then. His poor parents, his poor siblings, his children, his wife, they're all going to suffer because of this. So although the person who's actually receiving the punishment deserves to be punished, but what about everyone else? There would seem to be an injustice going on. There actually is an injustice that's going on. When a person has to be punished, inevitably, there's going to be an injustice that others who didn't contribute to the crime that was done are going to be punished as well, for no reason at all. However, Hashem, in His great wisdom, so to speak, and in his ability to orchestrate matters in the world as He desires them to be, as He needs them to be, and by Hashem, no such thing exists. Hashem is ein ovel. When Hashem has to carry out justice, called rochav mishpat, all His ways are just, ein ovel. Hashem arranges things in such a way that when Hashem brings about a punishment on someone, everything should fall in place, everything should be arranged in such a way that any person who will suffer as a result of that, ultimately only people who deserve to suffer because of it will suffer because of it. That's how Hashem manages to arrange things in such a way that no person is ever punished in a way that will affect others unless those who are affected by it deserve to be punished as well. And that those are the ways of Hashem. That's Hashem is Ein Ovel. The Pasuk of Hashem is Ein Ovel. Then everything that Hashem does, everything is always worked out perfectly in such a way that no one suffers when they don't deserve it. No one suffers an injustice because of the punishment that Hashem carries out. So the Sefer Shaar Bas Rabin, he suggests that perhaps that could be a way of understanding a well-known statement of Chazal, where the last Mishnah in Mishayis, last Mishnah in Uktim, says in Source 11, Yeralit, Om Rav Shum Ben Chalasso, Shum Ben Chalasso says, Shem Mosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klimastik Brocha LiYisrael, Ela HaSholem. Hashem did not find a vessel which can contain blessings for the Jewish people except for peace, and of course the Pasuk, Hashem oizla amo yitin, Hashem yivarech atamo yivasholem. Hashem blesses His nation with peace. He says, what does that mean? Why is it peace is a vessel that contains blessing, that could contain blessing? What does that mean? He says, perhaps it's this idea. A person wants to live a peaceful life. A person wants to live a life that that he doesn't have pain and suffering. How can he do that? So the way he could do that is through shalom, through peace. A person has a lot of friends, he gets along with everybody, everybody is his friend, everybody, and he cares about everybody. A person that develops relationships with many people, a person gets along with many people, then obviously Hashem could arrange anything, but it's more difficult then for Hashem to punish the person, because the larger a person's group of friends is, the more a person will be affected if this person suffers. So if a person like Masa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klimastik Baruch Hu Yisrael El HaSholem, shalom, peace is the best way, it's the greatest way for a person to ensure that he has shalom. Ensure that a person has bracha, that a person has blessing in his life. Because if a person is at peace with everybody, a person is friendly with everybody, gets along with everybody, then everybody who he knows, everyone who's around, will be affected negatively if chas v'shalom, he suffers. So therefore, the shalom, the peace that a person has, so to speak, prevents a person from being punished, because it would be inevitable then, if the person would be punished, if he'd be in pain, if he'd suffer, then inevitably those around him would suffer as well. And ultimately there are those who don't deserve to suffer. Therefore he suggests, perhaps, verily, to say that that's the idea over here. The same idea that a person is ein ovel. Hashem won't punish someone if they don't deserve it in any way, even in an indirect way. So therefore, if a person increases his circle of friends, of acquaintances, and he gets along with a lot of people, then he sort of has like an insurance policy that Hashem won't punish him, Hashem won't make him suffer, because it will affect those around him as well. He says that's the meaning of our pasuk as well. Hashem, when he wants to carry out justice, Hashem's eyes are open. He inspects, he looks at all the people in the world. Before Hashem gives a punishment to even one person, Hashem looks around the whole entire world. Hashem's eyes are open to see who will be affected and how they'll be affected. Before Hashem punishes a person, before Hashem pays him back for his actions, Hashem's eyes are open, I'll call Darach Ebeni Adam, to see throughout the whole entire world who else will be affected by this punishment that Hashem desires to bring on this person. And Hashem will ensure that no one is affected improperly in any way that they don't deserve because of the punishment that one person has to get. Stop here. Thank you.